Sidelines to Christian Character, Titus 2:2-10. Christian character is formed by the accumulation of all the thinking and the speaking and the acting of the daily life of the believer. Those who yield their minds completely to the control of the Holy Spirit, imploring Him to direct their thoughts and cleanse their motives and empower their activities as He sees best, will daily grow more and more Christ-like. This process is sanctification. Let me stress, character is the sum total of the thoughts and words and acts and their effect on the daily life. Part number one, Christian character, senior men. The aged men should be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity or love, in patience. Titus was to exhort the older, responsible men to aim to be temperate. The word is literally wineless, without wine. They were to be total abstainers from alcohol. They were slow bellies, or they loved food in 1:12, Titus. And so he starts out by saying they should be total abstainers. Grave or dignified. This indicates that perhaps they were too thigh-slapping, laughing, crude-joking persons, telling all kinds of male jokes that made them roar with laughter. They should be grave. They should be serious, worthy of honor, of a sound faith. The basis of all this emphasizes the need to give up to the so-called boyish, adolescent crudities and seek to develop love and patience. Healthy in their faith, loving, consistent in their fortitude, bearing up patiently whatever life brought their way. Part number two, Christian character is senior women. Titus 2:3. Aged women, that is senior women, likewise, in the same way, in their behavior, they should live as becomes holiness. Holiness. As becomes, as the margin says, what a holy woman would be. Their womanliness, their femininity should be holy. Their deportment should be consistent with wholeness for God dedication. They should not be scandalmongers, spreading all sorts of stories, innuendos, given to malicious gossip, not given to much wine. That is, they should not be drunkards, slaves to wine, but they should be teachers of good things, what is noble, especially the things that pertain to God. They should be role models to the younger women, that they may teach, that they may be examples to these younger women. Part number three, Christian character, younger women and men, Titus 2:2-4. He starts with the younger women. They should be sober. The margin gives the word wise. Other translations, discreet, to love their husbands, not to have eyes wandering to anyone who comes their way, to love their children. Husbands and children come first. This doesn't sit very well at this age of the 20th century in some young ladies' minds who prefer some career outside with which they can identify themselves and their ambitions, then what is recommended is here, to love their husbands and to love their children with discretion, to be discreet with control of one's whole self, chaste, pure sexually, keepers at home, that is, making sure that their house is a fortress of refuge where the children can come and find great delight and happiness and peace and security. Good. It's a wonderful word. There's none good but God. Good is godlike. Obedient to their own husbands. That is, cooperating with the family firm. Working together. Not pulling apart. Establishing their lives on the word of God. So that their characters will not bring any disrepute or blasphemy against the cause of God. Young men, likewise, to be sober-minded. Here again, to be discreet, control. Not to say everything that comes to one's mind. The fool telleth a man all that is in his heart. Sober-minded. Sensible. Not carried away with all the highs that liquor brings, which is the opposite of sober, uncontrolled, laughing and slapping and making all sorts of statements that seem to be smart and only show a person to be a fool. In all things, Titus is told in verse 7, showing thyself to be a pattern of good works. William Barclay throws light on Paul's emphasis. If the women in the ancient church had suddenly burst every limitation which the centuries had imposed upon them, the only result would have been to bring discredit on the church and cause people to say that Christianity had corrupted womanhood. The life laid down here seems narrow and circumcised, but it is to be read against its background. It is the simple fact that there is no greater task or responsibility or privilege in the world than to make a home. There is, in fact, nowhere where a truly religious life can better be lived than within the home. The letters to Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, page 250. In the same way, Titus was to minister to the young men in his congregation as a role model. He wanted every part of his church, every segment, every age group, to be ideal representations of what Christ would be were he in their place. The pastor was to continually urge upon the members of his church to use good judgment, self-restraint, as he himself exemplified. Part number 4, Christian character, the teacher. The apostle then turned his attention to the young pastor Titus himself. In everything, continue to make a habit of is the force of his verb. Be a model. Set a good round example. A pattern of good works. The sheep follow the shepherd, and he should set a worthy example. In his teaching or doctrine, he was to show integrity and high principle. His speaking or preaching should be wholesome and unobjectionable, not open to criticism. Should he follow these recommendations, his opponents will be confounded or put to shame. He should have nothing disparaging to say to anyone. As we think of the details that he emphasizes here, first of all, in the life, the inner life must be Christ-like in every detail. Thyself, in the uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity of disposition, must allow the Holy Spirit to make Christ live in the minister's heart. Then outward, as he spoke, as he stood in the pulpit, as he moved from house to house, his speech should be uncondemned. That is, his jokes, his humor, his illustrations, the depth of his sermons should be such that nothing is censurable. That those who are against him, those opposers, whether they're heathen, Judaizers, whoever they may be ashamed, not being able to find anything in his life that they could poke the finger at. What a tremendous standard he held up before the young pastor. Part number 5, Christian character, Christian workman, Titus 2, 9 and 10. Paul now gave Titus advice as to his ministry to the converted slaves in his congregation. As we mentioned in connection with his recommendations to Timothy, the apostle made no attempt to change the world order. Paul's advice applies with equal force to all employees in the workplace. He was to continue urging slaves, all Christian employees, to practice perfect submission, cooperation, helpfulness to their masters, not playing one master or employer against another. Give them complete satisfaction, complying with their demands, to do their jobs to the best of their ability, without embezzling, pilfering what was not theirs. In short, they were to be congenial, cooperative, for by living in all these ways, they would recommend and add luster to the teachings of the gospel of our Lord and Savior. To follow Paul's advice in summary, the pastor must be an all-round person, watching his own life and conduct so as not to mislead younger members of his congregation by his behavior, words, or deportment to be a representative of Jesus Christ.